Good afternoon. So today we're going to finish up, well, today maybe Thursday, we're going to finish up talking about virtual memory. The last part, which is about TLBs. First, some logistical and past assignment issues. So there's an exam. It's on the schedule. It's in Gilmer, 1:30. It's also on the schedule. Hopefully you're going to be there, or you told me otherwise. Because I don't know. I'm assuming that you're going to take the exam when we say. So now that the rotate homework is done and anyone who submitted it late did so, I'm going to talk a little about what happened on the homework. So a lot of people thought they were just doing loop unrolling, and wow, somehow I managed to loop unrolling, managed to make my code much, much faster. And some people did loop unrolling and said, oh, they'd do anything. And generally, to get the speed up you needed on the rotate assignment, you needed to do cache blocking. You're working with big arrays, we need to somehow optimize the cache accesses. And looking at some sample of submissions to that assignment, a lot of people thought they were doing loop unrolling, but were really doing cache blocking. So if you start out with a loop like this, let's say where f uses I and j as indices into a matrix, and you do this, this is not loop unrolling because you're using a different order. Like if f kept a counter and used the previous value, you get a different result. The only reason you could do that sort of reorganization in rotate is because each of the f calls was independent. But if the order mattered, then you know that might produce the wrong result. And the reason you got a speed up by doing something like this, for those of you who did that, that was because this changes the order in which we access the matrix, the images, and therefore changes how much cache locality we got. Which is not something loop unrolling does by itself, but here what happens is that this is cache blocking and loop unrolling done all at once, which some of you seem to have discovered sort of by accident, that you did loop unrolling, you said, oh, I want to unroll the I loop, not the J loop. But what you're really doing was both cache blocking and loop unrolling. And it only helped because you were changing the order in which you accessed a source and dest from the original code. If you were doing like real loop unrolling, it would look like this. If you were unrolling the I loop, which actually probably would not be very helpful at all and not actually a good idea. Generally, you want to unroll the innermost loop because that's the one where you're doing the most comparisons. It's one that's going to affect performance the most from omitting those operations. So this wouldn't have helped very much, but what a lot of people were doing was this. And generally, I think pretty much all the successful solutions did cache blocking either intentionally or unintentionally like this. So any questions on rotate? So, and before I move on, since I have some amount of time, any questions on smooth before that I might want to answer before it's due on tomorrow? No? Okay, so let's go back to where we were last time. So last time we were looking at multi-level paging, and we're going through some examples of how we would do a multi-level access. And the basic idea is that we're doing the same procedure we do for a single-level access, where we take our page table base register, which tells us where the page table is, and use that to look up a page table entry. But instead of taking the whole virtual page number, we divide the virtual page number into pieces. We use the first piece, the piece with the most significant bits of the address, for the first page table, and then we get a page table entry. So in this case, the first piece is 3 bits because we have 8 entries in each of our page tables, so we need 3 bits to figure out which entry. And that ends up getting this address when we add that value to our page table base register, which is this value here. Which I guess I should, nah. And when we interpret that as a page table entry using the format I've written down here, we just tell you how this processor decided to put physical page numbers and valid bits and all those other bits in our page table entries, which was a decision, it's arbitrary. When we interpret it that way, we get a page number and a valid bit. We've checked the valid bit because the point of having multi-level page tables is that the higher level tables can be invalid. So we can represent those big holes and save space by not having all page table entries for every single invalid page. And then we have a physical page number, but instead of being where our data actually is, it's where the next page table is. So we use that physical page number to make a new page table base value, which is going to be that page number and starting at offset 0, because our convention is going to be that second, third, fourth level page tables always start at the beginning of a page. And we use that along with the second part of the virtual page number to figure out what page table entry in the next table. And when we compute an address using that page number and that offset based on which entry in the page table stored in that page it is, we get this value as our next page table entry. And apparently I've highlighted this value, which I've highlighted the wrong value on this side, as the next page table entry. And we interpret that in the same way. We have some bits of it which represent the physical page number. And since this is the last level, we know that we go from here to figure out what address the program should actually be accessing, because we don't have any more page tables to go to. We don't have any more parts of the virtual address to use. The next thing we need to use in our address is the last 3 bits, which are our page offset. So then we use that physical page number and the page offset to construct our final address, and that's where the program actually ends up accessing memory. So any questions about any of the steps I took here? So here's another example. So why don't I'll give you a bit of time to look at this. So this is the same layout. So we're going to take our virtual address and divide it up into, again, 3 pieces. We have a 2-level page table, and since our pages are 8 bytes and we have 8 entries in each page table, each of those pieces is going to be 3 bits. So we have a 3-bit piece of the virtual page number, another 3-bit piece of the virtual page number, and a page offset. Figure out what's the result of this access. Okay, anyone have an answer, or the first part of an answer, or the first step you should do? You want to tell me, what's the first thing you should do? Yeah.
Change the virtual address into corresponding bits.
Okay, so first thing you want to do is divide up our virtual address into its corresponding pieces. So our pieces, we're going to have, this is a 9-bit address, so we have 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, and I believe B is 1011. So that's our address, written as 9 bits because it's a 9-bit address. I wrote it with 3 hexadecimal digits, but the first one only represents 1 bit because it's 9. That's how big it is. And we divide that up into 3 pieces. So this is our page offset. This is our VPN heart. All right, sorry. This. And then the next 3 bits is the VPN part 2. And the first 3 bits is the VPN part 1. So that's the first step we should do. And when we're doing our translation, the first thing we're going to use is the first part of the virtual page number. That's going to tell us where the first page table entry we care about is. In this case, it's 0. So that means it's the first page table entry in the page table the base register points to. So that means that this page table entry here, since page table entries are 1 byte, so that AA is the first page table entry. So we need to figure out what that page table entry decodes as. So our page table entry is 88, which is 1000100. And we need to look at this format up here to figure out how to interpret that. So what's the physical page number in that page table entry? Any? So there's 3 bits of it, which are the physical page number. Which 3 bits are they? Yeah. Yeah, so it said it has just wrote MSB, most significant bit, is what that stands for. So I just, because the question says so, it's just the most significant 3. So this is the physical page number. What else is in the page table entry? The valid bit. So where is the valid bit? Yeah, so if you, the most logical reading of what I wrote is that it's immediately after the PPN. So it's this bit. And that is not 1. That is 0, which means invalid. So that means that this access actually results in a fault. So it doesn't matter that there happens to be something interesting in the physical page number field because it's invalid. When the processor looks at this, it's going to say, nope, not going to use that, and ask the OS, tell me what to do. Yes?
Wait, how do you know that the that physical address is what you're supposed to look at?
Which physical address? So the question is, how did I get this 88 as the physical address to look at? So I used the page table base register here, and I added the VPN part 1 times the PTE size. So if you remember our diagram of memory accesses, the first step is we take the VPN piece, multiply it times the size of a page table entry. In that case, this is 1. So we take 0, multiply it by 1, we get 0. Then we add that to our base address, which is 8, and we get 8. And that's how we get that the first entry is at 8. I feel like I must have skipped a step.
What is that thing? What did you write
under PTE? Times the PTE size. Page table entry size. I will try to write that. I'll write this as that type of size. times the PT says. Hopefully that's appropriate. Yes.
Compare the rest of these exercises, though, that valid bit rule one.
Sure. So what would happen if this valid bit were one? So instead of having an 8 here, we had a 9. So in that case, we have our second part of the VPN, which we're going to use. And we're going to use it with this physical page number, which is going to be 80, which is segment 100. So we take the address 100000, and we add the physical page number, the VPN part 2 times the PTE size. So we add 1 to that to get the location of our page table entry. I guess it should do. So here we've taken that VPN part 2 and used that as the next piece we're going to use. And from this, we compute the address 100001. Yes?
Why is it 1 followed by 5 zeros? So you're taking the physical page number?
So this is a physical page number, and this is page offset equals 0. That's where because our convention is that the page table starts at the beginning of the page. So that's saying the first part of our page table is the beginning of the page, which means the page offset is all zeros. Because I just gave you a page number, you need the rest of the bits because that's what you expect in the page table base register. So I know what they are, they're just all zeros. So it's as if I had the page table base register, which was that, and zeros for the rest. So this is the address. So this here, which is address 21, is the address of our next page table entry, which is going to be here. So that's our second level page table entry based on that computation. So we took the physical page number from the first page table entry and added the offset based on the second part of the VPN, because we need to figure out how much into the page table do we need to look. And since that offset was 1, we need to go to the second entry. So the first entry would have been this D0, second entry is this D1, and third entry is D2. So then we need to look at the address D as the D1 as a page table entry. So, yeah. So repeat how I got to D1. So we took our PPN 100. So this represents a page which starts at address 100. And goes to that. This is the page. So that means that this is our second page table. Does that make sense? So based on that physical page number here, so based on the physical page number from part one, this is the page, this here, meaning this here, is the page which is our second page table. Yeah?
Where did the second 3 zeros come from?
So our addresses have our physical addresses have are divided into a 3-bit physical page number and a 3-bit page offset. And I only gave you the physical page number. So you need to fill in the rest, and we know the page has all possible values of the offset. So I guess a lot of the confusion here is that I have two ways I'm specifying the locations of page tables. So one way is that I'm giving you a byte address. And the other way is that I'm giving you a page address. So these are just different units. So in one case, I'm saying how many pages, how many 8-byte units into memory is it? In the other case, I'm saying how many bytes into memory is it? So these are just different units. And I'm using different units because we don't have enough room in a typical page table entry to put a full byte address. So processors don't do that. They just use a page address as a shortcut. But in a page table-based register, we don't really care. We have enough room for a real address. And in the past, we've sometimes described the page table-based register as containing a page address, and you could think of it that way, which means you just chop off some bits, and it gives you a page number. But this is just a matter of how we represent, what units or addresses are in. I guess that's the main point of confusion here. So our page table entries, when they point to another page table, they give the page address of it, and we just assume it's the whole page or the start of the page. So we don't worry about the rest of the address. We don't need to get the exact byte. We know the exact byte is just wherever the whole page is. This make more or less sense? So what the first page table entry told us was to go to this page to find as our next page table. So our first page table was here because we had base address 8 and we want one page table's worth of data after that, which is 8 bytes. Our second page table is here because we had page number 4. And the fourth page starts at address X20. And page tables are 8 bytes, so we have 8 bytes starting from that address. And once we have the starting address, we use the part of the virtual page number to know it's not the first thing in the page, it's the next thing, because it's offset 1, not 0. And so we got this page table entry. And we're just going to decode that into a physical address and a physical page number, which we're going to use with the remaining part of the address, the only part we haven't used, which is this page offset from the original virtual address. So when we decode our page table entry, our second page table entry, we're going to have D, which I need to actually remember how that translates into hex. So 9A, which is 12. I think it's 12. Let me, 13. Okay. Which helpfully is valid. So we have D1, which is going to decode into 1101 0001. And again, this is our PPN, the final one. And we have our valid bit afterwards, which is valid in this case. So it's not a fault. And we take our final PPN and we just combine that with the original page offset. So we copy this page offset and use this PPN from the last page table entry, and that's the address we'll access. Yeah?
I don't understand how the output of step 1 maps directly to hex 20. The PPN 100 and then
PPM 100, if we add 3 bits of zeros, which is the size of our page offset, this is address 0x20. And this is address 0x27. So physical page with number 4 is that range of addresses. So how did I know to add 3 zeros? I knew that because pages are 8 bytes. So every 8 bytes is a page. So from this 4 bytes is half a page. So each row is half a page in this case, because I've said there are 8 byte pages. So any 2 consecutive rows that starts on, every 2 consecutive rows is a page. Yeah, so another way you could account this, you could say that this is page 0, that's the first 8 bytes, this is page 1, this is page 2, this is page 3, this is page 4, and you could have gotten it that way. So, any more questions about what's going on here?
Hex 20 is relative to 0, not relative to the original table base register?
Yes, the hex 20 is an absolute address. Yes, it's not, the page table base register is only for the first level. After that, we're done with it. We don't ever look at it ever again. You can think of the page table base register as being our 0th page table entry. And, okay, so how about another exercise, since we clearly need to spend more time going over this, and I did guess that that would happen. But. So here we have the same page table base register. So just like before, these 8 bytes are our first level page table. And just like before, your first step should be that we have this virtual address here. You want to divide it up into the virtual page number and the page offset. The page offset, we're going to save until the very end. The virtual page number, you want to split into the 2 pieces. The first piece to use for the first level page table, this, the page table that's in these bytes. And the second piece to use in the second level page table. That will be pointed to by the first level page table. So. Yes.
How did you translate the virtual address?
How did I translate which part?
From hex to binary.
From hex to binary? So I can write each hex digit as binary. So the B in binary, assuming I didn't, So B in binary is 1011. So that's how I got the last four bits. A in binary is 1010. That's how I got the four bits before that. And then one just gives us a one at the beginning. And there's only 9 bits because it says 9-bit virtual addresses. Yes. So how did I determine how many bits are in the VPN and the page offset? So we have 8-byte pages. So this means that we need 3 bits to decide which of 8 bytes. Bytes, which means we have 3-bit page offset. So that's why I chose the last 3 bits of the page offset. And everything else left over must be the virtual page number. So then I need to divide the virtual page number into pieces. And to do that, I need to know how many entries are in each page table. And I have the information to do that here because I know that page tables are one page and page table entries are 1 byte, which means that page table entries are 8 bytes, which is 8 page table entries long. So there's 8 entries in every page table, which means that I need 3 bits to decide which of the entries I'm accessing each time I go to a page table. So for the first level, I use the first 3 bits to do this. For the second level, I use the next 3 bits to do this. And happily, that happens to consume the entire virtual page number. Yes?
How are you choosing what to multiply 6 by?
So why am I multiplying 6 by 1? That's because our page table entries are 1 byte. So if I want the entry within 6, just like if I have an array, if I want the 6th element, I take 6 times the size of each element. Page tables are exactly an array of page table entries. So if we do this, the first access, we find out that the entry is invalid again. So we get that address. If we had, say, a slightly different address, so let's say we were accessing, instead of 0x1a, let's say we were accessing 0x, one FB, which would be 1111111. Then we would have a case where we access, where we get the PTE is 0xFF, and we get 1111, and it's valid, and we have our PPN, which is 7. And the 7th page starts here, which we could get by just counting or by taking 7 and multiplying times 8 the size of each page. And based on the second part of the VPN, we're going to take beginning of that page and access again entry 7 of that, which is going to be this page table entry here. And what's going to happen when we try to use that page table entry? What address are we going to get? A fault. Why a fault? So the first 4 bits are 0, that includes the valid bit. Yeah. So that gives us OC, which is invalid, which has invalid. So we'll get a fault. Yes?
At what point do we use the page offset from the virtual address?
So the question is, when do we use the page offset from the virtual address? I wish I had handy my diagram from last time. Oh, maybe I should pull that up later. We use it at the very end. So it's the very last step of our access. So everything we're doing without the page offset until the very last step. Because all we care about is translating, what we're really doing with the page table access is we are translating our, this virtual page number here to a physical page number. That's what we're trying to do. Right. So that's all the page table access does, so it doesn't do anything with the page offset. In this case, we didn't even finish that. We just figured out during it that we have a page fault. We can't do this. But if we finished it, we just get a page number, and then we use the page offset at the very last step. So, any questions about this? Yeah. Which 7?
Like,
this 7 here?
0x3, yeah.
This 7 is the second part of the virtual page number. So in the first address, it would be this.
Okay.
In the second address, it's the second set of 3 bits. So we basically, we chop off the first 3 bits of the virtual page number, and then we chop off the next. We're taking 3 at a time because we need that to find the location in each page table. So we have the first page table consumes the first 3 bits, and the next page table consumes the next 3 bits until we run out of virtual page number bits. Yes?
How does putting less than 4 bits into a hex digit work?
How does putting less than 4 bit, you mean as far as why I have 1AB, why is it that even though this is a 9-bit address? So for the same reason, if you were writing it as decimal, you would use less digits than, you know, you would need to represent that number.
Like, are they just like the same zeros?
So there's leading zeros, yeah. But if you translate this to a decimal number, you're gonna, you know, not every number with that number of digits is gonna be representable with the same number with 9 bits, right? If you write out all 9-bit numbers, same thing happens with hexadecimal and binary for 9 bits. Like, it's just that not, like, we need 3 hexadecimal digits to represent all 9-bit numbers, but 3 hexadecimal digits, not all time, will be something we can fit in 9 bits.
I guess, like, how do you know, if you were just given the hex, how would you know that it's going to be a, like, 1-bit versus a 4-bit value type?
You have to be told how big the addresses are. So in this case, we just said, addresses are 9 bits, so you know that you truncate it to 9 bits. You could also have figured it out by knowing, oh, there's 2 levels of page tables, and each of them needs 3 bits from the address. But if you didn't have information like that, you wouldn't know. Yes?
Go over how you found the second level page table base address.
How I found the second level page table base address? So I'm looking here at the, so in the case of the blue axis, I looked at, this is my page table entry. And I decoded it based on the format of the page table entry, which is just something the processor chose. And the processor's choice is written here. Then I look at the 3 most significant bits, and that's the physical page number. And so those bits were 111, so 7. So physical page number 7 is where I look, based on that. And one way I could figure that out is I could say, this is physical page number 0. This is physical page number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that's one way I could have figured it out, most straightforward. If you want to not do counting, you take, say, pages are 8 bytes, because I was told they were 8 bytes. I multiply 7 times that, and that's the byte address where that page starts. Yes?
Is this roughly the size of a problem we can expect to see on the exam? Like, you're not going to throw out like 32-bit virtual addresses and say good luck?
We won't have, certainly won't have things more complicated than this. We usually err towards not having problems this complicated on exams, solely because of all the intermediate steps. However, that brings up that there is a memory homework, which is linked off the website. The memory homework is very similar to this. The way the memory homework works is we'll give you an image of memory and a page table layout and a page table base register, and ask you to do 10 translations, 7 of which, I think it's 10? 7 of which have 1-level page tables, and 3 of which have 3-level page tables. This is a web form. You submit your answers. You can, when you submit, we will tell you other things that weren't blank, which ones you got right. And you have 3 tries to get the problems right. If you don't get it in 3 tries, there will be a button to get a new random set of problems. And you can figure that one out. And you can keep going until you solve one of the sets of problems completely within 3 tries. So that's the homework. That's mostly where we're going to be testing this, not on an exam, because doing this problem on an exam time is not great. I might show that in a bit. Okay, and I guess I will be getting to TLB stuff mostly tomorrow, mostly Thursday, but that's fine. Okay, so one final exercise. So here, I've changed our layout. So I've changed the size of our page table entries. Now our page table entries are not 1 byte, but 2 bytes. And our pages are not 8 bytes, but 16 bytes. And our addresses are a different size. So the first thing you need to figure out is, what does this mean when we split up addresses? What are the pieces? What is the virtual page number? What's the page offset? what size pieces do I split that virtual page number into?
Table base register to the VPN part one, do you multiply the sum times the size of the page table entry or the VPN part one times the size and then add it to the
Okay, so the question is, when we're doing our first access, what do we multiply times the page table entry? Does someone have an idea? The question is, when we're doing our first level page table access, we're taking the page table base register and the VPN part. What do we multiply times this page table entry size?
Bytes per PTE.
So that's the page table entry size. What are we multiplying times that? The first virtual page number. And this is just like accessing an array. If I have an array of shorts and I want to find out the address, I multiply the index into the array times 2, the size of a short. And that's exactly what we're doing here. Because it is exactly an array of these 2-byte values in this case. And the page table base registers this our pointer to that array. I will just, hopefully I worked this out correctly in advance. So I'll go through, so who, once more time? Okay, I'll give you a little bit more time then. Okay, so yeah. So our first step, like as was alluded to, is we take our page table based register, add the first part of the VPN, and that's 8 bytes, so that's 3 bits, because there's 8 entries in each page table. We know there's 8 because the page tables are 16 bytes, one page, and entries are 2 bytes, so we just do division, we find out there's 8 entries, so we need 3 bits to determine the offset of the entry. We take that offset 6, multiply it times the size of each entry, because we want to start off with this is entry 0, this is entry 1, entry 2, so multiplying times these offset times 2 gets us the offset in bytes, not in page table entries. So we find out that our page table entry is these 2 bytes. We extract our PPN and our valid bit from that. And based on the PPM, we find out that physical page number 2, which is, in this case, this range of addresses, is where our second page table is. And we take our next part of the virtual address, our next 3 bits, 3 bits again, because we have 8 entries in that second page table to use. We multiply that times the size of each page table entry, and we find out that these bytes are our second level page table entry. And since we've run out of bits in our virtual address, the remaining 4 bits of the address are the page offset, the 4-bit, because we have 16 byte pages. So this page number is going to be not a page table, but the actual physical page number the program's accessing. You have a question? So where did we get the 0x20? 0x20, that's because this is page number 2. It starts at address 0x20. And I could tell that, one way I could figure that out is by taking this this physical page number here and saying this is a page number and here is a page offset, and that's address 0x20. Yes. From ACBC to the physical, you don't see where the physical page number comes in there? Out of that? Yeah, so we said that the two most significant bits of the first byte are the physical page number. And the first byte here is AC. The most significant bits are 1, 0, from bits are 1, 0, 1, 0, and I actually need to remember hex, 1, 1, 0, 0. So these are the bits of the first byte. The first 2 bits here is where that PPN comes from, and the next bit is where the valid bit comes from. And that's just because we were told what's in page table entries. You have to be told it's an arbitrary choice. And we do the same thing for the next. We have E, we translate that. We find out that we have physical page number 1, 1, which is 3, and which apparently I cannot translate correctly on this slide. That is great. Or page number 1, 1, that should be 3, 6, which I'm sure is not that value, which is here, DB. Yes. So the question is, why did I use an example with 2-byte page table entries when we're using 3 bits of our page table entry? And that's just because I wanted to make sure I had an example with a different way of splitting the address. and with non-one-page table entry sizes. In a real processor, we'll have a big enough memory that our physical page numbers won't fit in one byte. So this is the common sort of situation, but not because we're not using all the page table entry, but because we need at least like 10 bits for the physical page number. Okay. So that's not what I expected to spend all of the time on, but fortunately I have lots of time for Thursday. So we'll be fine. And I guess I will talk about the memory homework next time. So the memory homework, as I said, is very similar exercises to this with a particular layout. You get random problems. You can click submit. If you click submit with no wrong answers, it doesn't count as an attempt. So you can write one answer in. If you leave the rest blank, you'll find out if it's correct. And if it's correct, you can keep going. If it's not correct, it will count as one of three strikes. When you have three strikes, we'll show you the answers to the problems you had before, and there will be a button to give you a new set of problems, which you can try on and keep going until you get maximum points in the assignment. Okay. So, as I alluded, in real processors, we typically don't have, we typically have this sort of multi-level page table scheme. So this is what things look like in x86-64. This is Intel's diagram, so it has lots of funny names that don't make any sense. So in Intel, these are the VPN parts. So our virtual page number is very long. And it's divided up into four parts, one for each of four levels of the page table. And Intel has these really funny names like PML4 for VPN part one and directory pointer for VPN part two, but that's all they are. It's VPN part one, part two, part three, part four. And CR3 in this diagram is the page table base register. That's what Intel calls it. Why do they give such a cryptic name for it? I don't know, but they do. So this is the diagram of what the page table access looks like on a modern Intel system. That there's three levels. At each level, we take 9 bits of the, so this is a 9-bit index. And this is 4K, that's great, 4K with 512 8-byte PTEs. So in Intel, page table entries are not 2 bytes, but they're 8 bytes. So they multiply times 8 to have and use 9 bits from the virtual address to access one of 512 entries in that 4K page table at each level. And we have four levels, each of which we have a 4K page table. So they've made this choice that page tables are always one page, so always 512 entries. That's a deliberate choice that you'll see on most processors. So OSs, when they allocate page tables, it's just like allocating memory to a program. They allocate in everything in one page units. It's always one page of page tables, one page of memory for the program, just allocate a page. So with that layout, so that's how the translation works on 64-bit x86. So given that, let's say we have one page allocated for a program. How much space are we using for page tables to support this program? So we have this multi-level page table thing. So how much space do we need if we have exactly one valid page? Everything else is invalid for this program. Okay. So I want to have a answer. So remember, we have our VPN, which we're dividing into one, part two, part three, part four, and then a page, and then we have our page offset. So how much space? How much space are we using for page tables for this? So in this case, so for each page table equals 4k for each page table. So we just need to count page tables since every page table is the same size. So the question is, how many page tables do we have? And if we look at it, we're going to have a page table at the first level. This is where we use the first part of our VPN. Then we need something where we use the second part of our VPN, and the third, and the fourth. So we have to have at least four page tables, one for each level. And since there's only one valid page, that's all we need. Everything else is just marked as invalid. So if we try to access any other address, we stop at one of these levels and find an invalid page. We don't need page tables to represent them. So we're going to use four pages, four page tables. Each of them takes up one page. So for our program, which has one page of allocated memory, we're actually going to need to allocate five pages to support it. Four pages are just data about what memory it has allocated for the processor. Okay, so how about another example? So let's say instead of having one page allocated for a program, we have two. We have one at address 0. And one at a really high address. How much space do we have for page tables for this? Yes.
There'd be 9 pages.
OK, can you explain how you got that number? Yes, so we'd have 9 pages in total. Because what this would look like is something like this. We have one for the first level, and because these addresses are very far apart, the first part of their virtual page number is going to be different. You would have to actually like do some math and like to figure that out that that's true, but it happens to be true. I was nice enough to make them far apart, so that happened. And so we got this sort of situation where we need second and third and fourth level page table, which only deal with our page at 0, and one which only deal with our page at this really high address. And so we need to allocate these 7 page tables plus the 2 actual pages of data to give our program 2 pages of memory at these separated addresses. So questions about this? Yeah.
So we need 9 pages, not 9.
Yes, so 9 pages is the total we need allocated. 7 of them are page tables.
Okay.
So how about this situation? Let's say we have 100 pages of stack and 100 pages of coding constants, and let's assume these are very far apart in memory, very different addresses, so they don't share a first level page table entry. How much space do we need for page tables? And I note that there are multiple plausible answers to this, so. So what we're saying is our program's memory layout, we have a little stack and a little code region. Everything else is empty. So at the first level, we would expect that we have first level PTE points would be, different for each of them. They'd point to different things, so they'd have different entries in the first level page table, just like we saw with the two single far apart pages. But the actual pages on the, that are all part of the stack, we might expect to all share a first level page table entry, which means that they'll have the same second level page table, because they're all close enough together that they can share that. So we won't have to have, three separate page tables for each of the 100 pages of stack. They'll share most of them. And in the best case, we'll end up with a scenario like this, that we can fit 100 page table entries in our last level page table. So maybe they're all together. So all our pages of code are together in one last level page table entry, and we have page tables before that to point to them. But we have the same amount of overhead as we had for two pages as for these 200. So this would be our best case. And this is just assuming that, these share VPN parts 1 through 3. That's why that would be possible, because they have the same value for the first part of their VPN, which means that they use, and up until the last step, where we get to the last level page table, we're doing exactly the same things in translation. We're looking all at the same page table entries. We don't need to have extras. So this won't always happen. What could make this not work out so nicely? How could we need to have more page table entries to support 100 pages of code that's together and 100 pages of the stack? Yeah. Yeah, so how would that happen, even though they're together in memory? So one thing which could happen is that if we think about the value of VPN part 4, here we're saying that it's 0 through 100. So let's say instead of being 0 to 100, it was something like something like 480 to 511 and 0 through 60. Then we'd have a problem. That would mean that the last bit of VPN part 3 is changing. So that's how we would get a worst case, where it looks something, where this is just the code part, and we have the similar thing for the stack part, where, in the worst case, we happen to split up exactly on the boundary of a first level page table entry. So it just happens to be that here this is 0000 for the VPN part 2, and here it's 11111 for VPN part 2, and so on. We just happen to be exactly on a boundary in a first level page table entry. Note that in both cases, we still don't actually have that much overhead. We're storing, in this case, we've doubled the amount of pages we're storing in page tables, but it's a lot less than the amount of data we can access. That it's like 10-ish for 400 pages, for 200 pages, which is not too bad. It's not great, but it's certainly better than the sort of scenario where I was talking about having half a terabyte of page tables for each program. So any questions about this scenario? How we figure this sort of thing out? Yeah?
Does this impact the amount of time it takes to decode a page?
So the question is, does this impact the amount of time it takes to decode a page? So the process is the same no matter how many page tables we use. The issue is just that we need to access, for this program, more page table entries in aggregate. And that's going to have its biggest effect because of caching. So if we think about caching our page tables, in this case, we need to cache twice as many second and third level page table entries to make those lookups faster. In practice, because of what we'll talk about, I guess, next time at this point, the way we cache page table lookups, it's not going to make much of a difference as far as performance goes, because we're going to be caching only these last level entries. And that's, so it's not going to matter much what the organization of the rest of the table looks like for performance. Okay. So how about this scenario? Suppose, like before, I have 200 pages allocated to my program, but instead of having like 100 pages of code and 100 pages of stack, I just allocated 200 pages at random virtual addresses. How much space am I going to be using for page tables? About. It's random addresses, so it could vary randomly, so you won't have an exact answer. Like, what would you expect? Any volunteers? The guess is what's going to happen? So if I choose two random addresses, given that I have big virtual page numbers, they probably won't share the first even half of their virtual page number. Which means that usually I'm going to have each of these 200 pages is probably going to have its own last level page table with one valid entry. And probably even its own third level page table. And probably even its own second level page table. If you do out sort of the math, you find out that on average, like 40 of them will share a first level page table with something else, but after that, they're likely to be independent. And that means you're going to be using like 550 to 600 page tables to support these 200 randomly placed pages. And the reason this overhead isn't a concern in practice is we don't allocate memory like this. When we have our programs with 200 pages of memory, it's 200 pages of code and constants and 200 pages of stack. That sort of scenario where we get a lot of sharing of these page tables. We don't have this sort of scenario where they're just randomly scattered everywhere. If we did, the overhead would be really bad as far as wasted space. Okay, so that's what I have for today. Next time we'll talk about TLBs.